Thank you for that great music. Grateful and greatly blessed by our children's music, aren't you? Boy, they just flat sing out. Don't they? Just let her fly. I think it's great. It's sad that when we get older, we become real self-conscious about stuff like that. I mean, we laugh with our kids and they just sing louder. I think it's great. I'm grateful for them all and for those who serve them. Well, I mentioned this morning, I'm going to speak to you on this subject. Who is Antichrist? We are looking at a series of sermons on what's next on God's calendar. And we've seen that I believe the next thing is that Christ will return and pour out his wrath upon the earth. Now, I've shared on many occasions, I am a hopeful pre-tribulation rapturist, which means that I hope that before all the tribulation on the earth, Jesus comes back again and takes us all away, and we aren't here when any of that happens. I can't prove to you in chapter and verse. I can explain why I believe that way, and we'll do so at some time if you'd like. But I want us to know that the wrath of God is coming upon this earth. And we are going to experience the judgment seat of Christ. Many are concerned about that, and understandably so. It's not a judgment of sin. Our sin was dealt with at Calvary. And willful, unconfessed sin in the life of believers is going to be dealt with in our lives right here at the chastening hand of Almighty God. No, the judgment seat of Christ is where we receive our rewards for our obedient service to Almighty God. And then I believe there's going to be a peace treaty between Israel and the Arab world and probably the rest of the world as well. And that's going to enable them to rebuild the temple. I believe that end times events are evident that there's going to be a temple rebuilt, and I believe that temple is going to be facilitated through a peace offering or a peace treaty brokered by the Antichrist. But who is the Antichrist? Well, if you came this evening expecting me to give you a name, I'm afraid you're going to be disappointed. Is the Antichrist living today? I have no idea. He could well be. I simply do not know. There's inadequate information in Scripture for us to make that kind of a conclusion. But I'll do my best to answer this evening who Antichrist is, and I'll do so from the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the last book of your Bible. I want to read for you in the 13th chapter of the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And when you find that place, I'd ask you to stand, if you're able to do so, to honor the public reading of God's precious word. Revelation chapter 13. If you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not there yet, say oh me. Amen. All right, wait just a minute. Revelation, last book of the Bible. If you're at maps, you're too far. Go back to the left. If you're anywhere else in Scripture, you're too far to the right. Go back to the right. Revelation 13, you there? Amen. Okay, verse 1. Then I, John, stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his 10 horns crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like a bear, his mouth like a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast, so they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. Now the characters here, the dragon represented the devil and the beast of the Antichrist. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who's like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months, 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That's Jesus. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. And then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, those whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Please be seated. As you do, join me in prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word and the warning it gives to us about the events of the end times. And Lord, we're grateful for the preparation that you have made for us in Jesus Christ. And I pray that each person that's sound of my voice has received those necessary preparations by a simple childlike faith. If not, something might be said or done, that this evening would be the day of their salvation. But Lord, I pray that we all would live our lives each day by faith, following you and honoring you in all that we say and do, that we might be ready when you come again for us, just that we can hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Now I pray that you might preach through me and set me free of every distraction, every hindrance, every obstacle. I present to your truth. Silence me, O God, that you might be heard, and hide me that you might be seen. And I do pray the forces of darkness and evil that will do anything to keep God's people in darkness and confusion about end times events might be bound from this place and bound from these people. Lord, we are yours, purchased by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the wicked one touches us not. So have your way in all that's said and done, and for all you accomplish, we'll praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Several things stand out to me. The Antichrist is a philosophy. The Antichrist is a philosophy. The word Antichrist literally translates that which is against Christ, an opponent of Messiah. Doesn't that describe Lucifer perfectly? He has opposed God and all that is of God from the very beginning. And the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of opposition to God, permeates this earthly realm at the present time. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ as having come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is in the world. That describes a great deal of our world today. It describes a great deal of our country today. Opposition to the things of God. It grieves me deeply. I've shared with you many times. It grieves me deeply to see how far our nation has fallen spiritually in my lifetime. And when I was a child, not only was it tolerated for you to be a Christian, Christians were respected and revered because of their faith in Almighty God through Jesus Christ. Nowadays, we are looked down on as though we are simple-minded fools simply because we embrace the faith of our founding fathers. Many question the deity of Christ. And many question the lordship of Christ in this world. And many question the word of God. And so believers must be on guard against this spirit of Antichrist. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. So we've got to be very, very careful. Our enemy is very real. He is very subtle. He is very smart. And he works to entice us away from God. Now, please hear what I'm telling you. He can't take our salvation, nor can he entice us to leave our salvation behind. If we are born again believers in Jesus Christ, that issue is settled forever and ever and ever and ever. That's a great place to say amen. Our salvation is settled forever. Nothing can ever change our relationship to Almighty God. Our fellowship, however, is very much in question. And so if the devil can lure us off the straight and narrow path, he can hinder, he can impede, he can even stop our fellowship with Almighty God. How that would grieve our great Father, But we are creatures of choice. We get to make our own choices and live with the consequences. So he works very hard, the devil does, to entice us away from a straight and narrow path. And many Christians are easy targets because we are quite ignorant of the things of God. We've not been adequately equipped or armed with the Word of God to be able to withstand the enemy of God, such as the Antichrist. It's a constant struggle in our lives. We recognize it as a struggle on the inside between good and evil, right and wrong, doing our will, doing God's will. And hey, if you're honest with yourself, you don't have to be honest with me, be honest with yourself, that struggle is continuous. Continuous. The older I get, the longer I've walked with the Lord, the more aware I am of my sinfulness, the more aware I am of my inclination to gratify self at the expense of glorifying the Savior. A constant tug of war. We have victory in that war in Jesus Christ, but we've got to live out that victory as we surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ by simple childlike faith. And it's a moment-by-moment proposition. So, the Antichrist works tirelessly to steal our joy, to damage our reputation and witness, and to keep us from realizing our full potential in Jesus Christ. So the Antichrist is a philosophy. But the Antichrist is also a person. I would question whether or not evil can really be fully contained in a human being. But then I see so many evil acts taking place in our world today. Pretty well answers the question. We've seen some recently. This character who shot all these children in Florida. I mean, is that not evil personified? I'm not his judge, and I realize that he's a sick person. But would you hear me when I say the greatest sickness he's suffering is sin sickness. Sin sickness. And before I cast stones at him, I better recognize that but for the grace of God, I'm capable of the very same thing. I'm grateful for the grace of God and the restraining power of the Holy Spirit. But that's what keeps us from doing such ridiculous and foolish things. It's the restraining power of Almighty God. Well, the Antichrist is going to personify evil. He's going to be an ordinary person. It says he's coming up out of the sea representative of the sea of people, the nations of people. Revelation chapter 17, verse 15 says he'll just be an ordinary person and he will charm his way into great power. Now, there's a lot of speculation. A great many Bible scholars believe that he will be a Jew who is not practicing Jew or not following the laws of Judaism. Others believe he will be an Arab who will somehow bridge the gap between the Jews and the Arabs, Muslims perhaps. Others believe it might be a Westerner, somebody who could speak to both sides of the coin. And I'll be careful about saying this, but I want to use this as a type. I don't believe for a second he's the Antichrist. But we saw in our former president, Barack Obama, the ability to bridge that chasm between the East and the West. Because he was born an American, he was raised as a Muslim, then he came back to America and professed faith in Christ. And so he sought to bridge the gap and draw people together for some common purpose. So it could be a person like that, a Westerner, who has experienced influences from both sides that could accomplish the purpose, we simply do not know. But I would tell you, he is going to have broad appeal. And once in power, he's going to be able to broker peace between Israel and the surrounding nations. And the whole world will be at awe. Because let's be honest, a lot of people have tried. In my lifetime, Richard Nixon tried and Jimmy Carter tried and a whole lot of other people have tried and nobody's been successful. Down through the ages, people have tried to have peace with Israel. Not possible. And the Antichrist is going to bring it to pass. And so he will be a celebrity overnight. The whole world will bow down at his feet as though he is some supernatural creature. And the Jews, I believe, will rush at that point to rebuild their temple. And the Antichrist, power and influence will grow with each passing day. Why, preacher? Because I read in verse 13, he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven in the sight of men. Now think about that. We know that the devil's crowd has tried to call down fire from heaven before. Remember Elijah and the prophets of Baal? And they couldn't. So why now? God is allowing it. God is allowing it to accomplish his purpose. So he will be able to call down fire from heaven. He's part of an even greater miracle than that in verse 12. The false prophet exercises all the authority of the first beast and causes the earth and those who dwell on it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Some speculate that he might even be killed and raised from the dead or experience such a grave and grievous wound that death is inevitable and yet then come back to life. Don't know for certain, but he is going to be a part of a great miracle that will have the entire world in awe. People will stop to take notice, and he'll have tremendous influence. That three characters in the story I'm talking about, Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet. That's the unholy trinity, if you will. I'm just intrigued. The further I go down the road, the more I understand how the devil is a great imitator. He tries to imitate everything God does. And can we just be honest and say, he is pretty successful imitating everything except the love of God in Jesus Christ. He's not capable of love. I don't think he even loves himself. And I'm certain he doesn't love his demons. So he can't produce love. He's filled with hate and bitterness and hostility and anger. But he's so bright, he's so intelligent, he's so charming, he's so cunning that he can imitate virtually everything else God does. And he'll even cause there to be a large graven image made of this beast and give that beast, that image, excuse me, the power to speak. Listen to verse 15. He's granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. The image will come to life. Now, if you think that won't get people's attention, I'll guarantee you, if we see whoever he might be, world leader, cause an image to be made in his likeness, and then he in some grand ceremony covered by CNN and Fox and all the great news networks around the world, he gives that image the capacity to breathe and to speak. You telling me he won't be able to rule the world? I'll guarantee you he will. People will look to him as God, and that's exactly what he desires. And he'll cause that image to speak and cause as many as will not worship the image to be killed. You won't have any choice in the matter. You're going to have to worship this image of the beast or you're going to die. Sound familiar? Another image was made a long time ago, and Daniel was required to bow before it to worship. And Daniel said, not happening. Not happening. The instruction was you couldn't pray to anybody except the king. He refused. Of course, they threw him in the lion's den. Don't want to go in the lion's den. They keep the lions hungry in the lion's den. So they threw old Daniel in the lion's den. I've got a picture in my office. I love it. Brian's got one in his office as well. And I can just imagine old Daniel looking at those lions saying, what are you looking at me for? I am not supper. If you don't think I'm the representative of Almighty God, you just try something. I'll show you a trick. And I think somehow those lions understood. And I have in my mind's eye, Jim, this picture of old Daniel laying down to sleep and calling one of those lions over to be his pillow. Fascinating story. God spared him through the night. The next day, the king went to check on him and he heard him and he got him out of there and his life was spared. Now, there's no guarantee that God's always going to spare a life. A whole lot of Christians down through the ages have lost their life because of faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I understand that the world's condition seems to be improving such that this year they only anticipate 100,000 people will die because of their faith in Jesus Christ. That's down from about 300,000 just about 25 years ago. People die just because of their faith in Jesus. So we don't have the guarantee that we're never going to have heartache or hardships or trials or tribulations. We're never going to suffer. No, Jesus promised that we would suffer. But we can be of good cheer because he did overcome the trials and tribulations and the suffering of the world. So the Antichrist will rule the world with his great power and influence. He'll do so ruthlessly. He'll establish one world economy, says in verse 16 and 17. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand, on their foreheads, so that no one may buy or sell unless they have the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Many speculate on what that mark would be. I'm not going to join them in speculation. I don't know. But I do know that people have panicked in modern days as we have seen the advent of technology, because we are fearful. And some, Dewey would say, I don't want to have a credit card because that could be the mark of the beast. Or I don't want to have a charge account. Or I don't want to have a social security number because that could be the mark of the beast. Hear me when I say, you're not going to get the mark of the beast accidentally. To get the mark of the beast, you're going to have to bow down to worship the beast. And if you refuse, you're not going to get the mark. You say, well, I'm just not going to take it. Then you're going to starve to death because you're not going to be able to buy and you're not going to be able to sell. And there's going to be such terrible plight on the earth anyway because of the wrath of God being poured out that 40% of the earth's population at least is going to die. So it's going to be a dreadful place to be. And you say, well, how could God let that happen? Well, there's worse things than dying. You see, if we're children of God, and I trust that we all are, death is really just a portal into a greater life to come. Death isn't a permanent state. It's a passage. Because I believe in the moment we close our eyes and breathe our last, we open our eyes and breathe again in the presence of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. How bad can that be? I'm going to tell you, it's a promotion. That's why I posted on my Facebook page this week. Congratulations to Billy Graham for his promotion. Hey, I guarantee you, he's a whole lot better off today than he was this time last week. I have lots of family and some friends there, and I'm grateful to God that I know they're not suffering any longer. There's no heartache and hardships there. They're in the presence of Almighty God, awaiting the end so that they can experience the fullness of their reward in Jesus Christ for their lives of obedience and submission to our great God. So death is temporary. And yes, lots of believers are going to be killed. I think back through the ages at the rulers who sought ruthlessly to gain control of the entire globe. In biblical times, old Nebuchadnezzar was pretty famous, and maybe notorious is a better word. Pharaoh was also pretty notorious, mistreated God's people pretty severely. Nero and Domitian, Roman rulers, were just unbelievably brutal to Christians. And all ruled vast empires. But even in a more modern era, I would tell you that Adolf Hitler sought to rule the world. Unbelievable the numbers of people that he heartlessly killed. Over 11 million non-combatants died at Adolf Hitler's request because in his mind they were inferior to him. He was trying to raise up an Aryan nation, a racist kind of a white supremacy mindset that would dominate and rule the world in Nazi Germany. And when that was taking place, many Christians in Germany got swept up in his popularity and maybe didn't support him, but certainly didn't oppose him because they were fearful for their own lives. And I would tell you, if we're not going to stand up against evil, we're going to have to be accountable for evil. And it could happen right here in the good old U.S. of A. But he was power hungry, would do anything. He didn't care who he had to kill to gain additional control. And all that occurred with the Holy Spirit's restraint on this world. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. The power of lawlessness is already at work. That's the power of the Antichrist. But the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he's taken out of the way. Who holds back the power of lawlessness? The Holy Spirit of God. He dwells in the hearts and lives of God's people. And he restrains a great deal of evil. You say, preacher, we're so aware of the dreadful acts of wickedness in our world. Hey, you hadn't seen nothing yet. Imagine when the restraining power of the Holy Spirit is removed from this earthly arena and the devil is allowed to rule, and he will rule for a short season of time, and it's going to be a dreadful place to be. We simply cannot imagine the horrors of his dictatorship. So the Antichrist is a philosophy. He's also a very cruel person. But I would also tell you that the Antichrist is a pawn. A pawn. Mr. Webster says, a pawn is that which is used by another for gain. That which is used by another for gain. That describes the Antichrist perfectly. Truth of the matter is, this powerful being is a pawn. Well, preacher, who's pulling his strings? Great question. The obvious answer is, the devil's pulling his strings. Lucifer. He's the one that's directing all of this hatred and bitterness and anger and hostility. But who's pulling Lucifer's strings? The Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Lucifer's a created being just like you and me. God created him as a ministering servant in heaven. He's not eternal. Well, he's going to live forever, but he has a very distinct beginning point, just like I do, just like we all do. God alone is eternal. No beginning, no end. On the continuum of time, both directions, as far as you can go, God is. All the rest of us have a starting point in that continuum and then continue on ad infinitum. And the devil's in that group. So is the Antichrist. So is the false prophet. Created beings of Almighty God. A tool to be used to accomplish God's purpose. You say, that doesn't sound good, preacher. You better think that through some more. Hear me when I say, God's intent was to create a perfect world and create perfect beings that would enjoy perfect fellowship with him forever. And he did that right here on planet Earth, in a place the Bible refers to as the Garden of Eden. And he placed Adam and Eve there, and they were created in the image of God, and they were sinless. Sinless. And yet, because God gave them a free will and choice, they opted for their own plan as opposed to God's plan. They selfishly sought to do better than what God had in store for them. You understand that's a losing proposition every single time. And yet, isn't it true that everybody in this room can give testimony where we've tried it? We've heard the voice of God. We know God's plan for a particular situation. And we say, no, that ain't it. I got a better plan. I'm going to do things my way. And so my way is going to be better than God's way for God's people when God loves us unconditionally. That's crazy. We're never going to be better for ourselves than what God is for us if we'll but trust him enough to obey him. And the evidence that we trust him enough to obey him is that we follow him on a continuing basis. That's exactly what happened with God's creation, which disrupted God's plan, which caused the enemy to experience God's curse, also caused this earth to experience God's curse. And the culmination of that curse is God's punishment on his creation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. For this reason that men have rejected God, God sends a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. Who is they? Those who've rejected Jesus Christ. And all be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. God himself sends delusions to cause people to believe the lie. What lie, preacher? That the Antichrist is God. God himself will cause them such delusion that they will see the Antichrist as God, and they'll bow before him, and they will seal their fate forever. When they take that mark of the beast, it is over for them. And their destiny is a hell that will last forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Think about that. People will feel safe listening to the Antichrist. Why? Because they've seen him do miracles. They've listened to his oration. And he's a powerful speaker. And he's a great influencer. He has great charm and charisma. And we feel good about it. Isn't that what's wrong with our nation today? We go into the voting booth and we pull the lever for whoever we feel good about. Have you not yet learned about yourself that your feelings lie to you? My feelings lie to me. Feelings aren't trustworthy. We better make sure we're holding all of our feelings accountable to the Word of God. This is the only source of truth we got. And if my feelings aren't confirmed with God's truth, my feelings are wrong. I don't care if you say, well, I just have a special sense of intuition. You better not trust your intuition when it comes to the things of the devil. Because he will deceive you. And if you reject Jesus Christ, God will allow that to happen. And so this is the culmination of the wrath of God being poured out upon the people of this earth who've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, that's just really hard, preacher. I have a hard time. Think about what it cost God for us to sin. It cost him fellowship with his crowning jewel of his creation. But even more, cost him the life of his dear son. Because you see, there was no other hope for us. There was no other remedy for our sin. But that Jesus, God himself, become fully man. And as the perfect, spotless Lamb of glory, bypassing the curse of sin, by entering human history through the virgin womb of his mother Mary, and then living a life of sinless perfection for 33 years, allowed him to be acceptable. So he became all the sins of all humanity for all time. And died a painful, shameful, humiliating, horrible death. I'm pretty sure the Father God wasn't happy about that. And yet he has restrained himself for lo these 2,000 years and allowed his enemies to apparently get away with this dreadful act. But payday's coming. And we're going to see it poured out right here during the tribulation age. The wrath of God culminated in entire nations of people being swept into eternity, unprepared to spend forever and ever in hell because they rejected the glorious Savior. And deservedly so. I watched on the news today and Chris Wallace was interviewing the father of one of those children that was killed in Florida this past week. And I thought to myself, Chris, that's not a very smart thing to do. I mean, this man is devastated. He is grieving. He's not himself. He's not thinking rationally at this point. But you know how those talking heads are. You know, they get paid millions and they've convinced themselves that they're worth it. And so he asked a few really boneheaded questions to this guy. And this dad just lit him up. Just said, you commentators, you newscasters, all you celebrity folks, still don't get it. You're trying to agitate and cogitate and cause all this kind of problem. We need to have a solution. It's not going to come from you people stirring the pot. I thought, you get him, guy. I like it. Hey, those guys make money by stirring the pot. We don't need the pot stirred anymore. We need people with cool heads to try to work together to come up with a solution. And that's what this dad was saying. But we get all wrapped up in our feelings and what we feel like we're supposed to do, and we don't have any sense of understanding of what God's plan is. And God said, I hate sin, and my wrath is poured out against sin because they've rejected the only solution for sin, and His name is Jesus. Aren't you glad we've accepted that solution? Aren't you glad that we can face the uncertainties of the end times and the dreadfulness of the tribulation without fear of the Antichrist? But would you hear me when I say, don't play games with the devil? He's a defeated foe, and we are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. But hear Jesus' own words in Matthew 24, verse 26. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, speaking of the Christ that's come, the Messiah, do not go out. Or, look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. Boy, it just absolutely grieves me how many Christians play footsie with the devil. We get all wrapped up in horoscopes and want to dabble with the occult and all those kind of things and say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. You are a Christian. That means you're going to heaven someday. But you understand, you can be deceived by the force of darkness and you can experience a life that imitates hell while you're here because of your ignorance of the things of God and allowing the influence of darkness to steal your witness, to steal your joy, to steal your peace. We better stay away from that stuff. I'm not afraid of the devil, but I'm not looking for trouble. If trouble finds me, we'll deal with that by faith in Jesus Christ. But to go pick a fight with the forces of darkness is foolishness. And I don't have to, praise God, because Jesus has already taken care of that. They are defeated by the precious blood of the Lamb of Calvary, and that blood's applied to my life. And I'm safe and secure in Jesus Christ. And so are you if you've trusted Him. If not, you can tonight. And from that posture of safety, it doesn't matter to me what happens. Well, I have strong opinions. Hope I'm right. Makes no difference. If I'm here during the tribulation period and it costs my life on earth for refusing to take the mark of the beast to satisfy the Antichrist, so be it. It's only going to last for a minute. And I'm going to be in the presence of Jesus forever and ever and ever. And my passion is to have so lived my life as to hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. Antichrist is real, dangerous, powerful, defeated by the grace and glory of God. Have you experienced that grace this evening? And are you able and ready to stand against the forces of darkness? If not, you can be. Simply recognize you're a sinner and you need a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior who became your sin and died in your place so that you might be forgiven and cleansed and adopted to God's family and receive that precious gift by faith. And allow the Spirit of God to seal you forever and ever. And then spend time in His Word and learn the things of God and be effective witnesses that we can influence others for Christ and stand against the enemy and his tricks and traps. Don't give in to doubts and fears, but rather have faith in Jesus Christ to meet your every need, and He won't disappoint. If you're a child of God and you've fallen from grace, you're out of fellowship, you've allowed the sins of the past to lure you back in, you've not lost your salvation. You just cheered yourself with sweet fellowship. Confess that sin to God. He's not surprised by it. He's not even disappointed. Disappointment implies that He didn't know ahead of time. He knew before the foundation of the world every sin we'd ever commit, and He died to pay the penalty for those sins. Receive that forgiveness and cleansing and be restored again to sweet fellowship that we might be a blessing to God as surely as to those around us as we walk by faith, how we choose. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for Your precious Word and provision for us that is perfect no matter what the end times might hold for us. Lord, we're grateful that we have complete assurance of victory in Jesus. Lord, I pray for one this evening that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I pray that something has been said or done, that this would be the day of their salvation. I pray, Lord, that they would break free from their apathy or break free from their deception or break free from their sin and acknowledge their desperate need and receive you in this evening. Lord, I pray for the vast majority of saved as a preacher, yet a great many of us walking a guilty distance from you. We've allowed sin to creep back into our lives, and Lord, now we're oppressed with guilt and shame, a sense of defeat and depression. Lord God, forgive us and help us to receive forgiveness in Jesus Christ and to turn from self and sin and turn fully to the Savior. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to go forth from this place with a holy boldness, unafraid of what the future might hold, because we know who holds the future, and his name is Jesus. Have your way in this decision time. And for all that you accomplish, we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand to your feet. If God has spoken to your heart, you've got a decision to make. This altar's open. You can come and pray. You can pray just where you are. Brian's here. Miss Judy's here. I'll be here as well to pray with you. As Brent leads us, how will you choose? Would you come?